Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Shirley Caniff, and this is and my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff, and welcome to WSCIRO on Blog Talk Radio. And it's Friday, September 25th, 2009. Well, I'm telling you, today was a day of surprises. And, you know, we have to count our blessings. And, well, I just want to just welcome everybody, all my Facebook friends and YouTube family, to Blog Talk Radio. I really believe that we are in some fascinating times. We're also, especially if you're a Christian, we're not only in fascinating times. If you are doing God's will, you know, the attacks will increase spiritually, and there will be trials, but the Lord will deliver us out of it all. My husband and I had a powerful 10 days of outreach, and God's just doing some unusual things with us, and just putting people in our hearts to help. And you know, we're doing the Sewer New England thing. You know, it's a food cooperative, but the Lord has been showing us how He wants to develop He wants to develop the concept of community development more and train people how to be more effective volunteers, you know, so that they can help out a lot of people and do it from a point of a light heart, you know, so there needs to be some transformation and happening in the heart and the spirit of the individual. So, you know, here we are, you know, just, you know, there's always a part of when you're helping people out, when you're doing the Lord's will, when you're doing ministry, there's always that part where you're like, you're on the cloud nine, and you're thinking, can it get any better than this? You're in that bliss mode, and then, you know, you want to be in that bliss mode forever, but then something happens to put you back into the reality that there are evil forces trying to oppose the works of God. And my husband, my husband and I, we still both have paid jobs, so we're doing this outreach in between. And today being Friday, he was scheduled to work at the deli, you know. And everything, you know, was just coming to a full head as far as time is concerned. And so, you know, we made arrangements to, you know, be there, you know, where we needed to be, you know, later than usual because, you know, time was seemed to be flying fast and we had to complete a certain task before we actually went to do the next thing. And, of course, we had to eat our food, our lunch, so we can, you know, really bless our bodies with nourishment so we can have the energy to do the next thing because we were definitely running on empty. We had the luxury of, and we'll talk about that later on, the luxury, the privilege, and the blessing to be able to volunteer at a U2 concert September 21st. This past Monday when U2 performed at the Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. And so we were able to be a volunteer to, you know, for the one organization, Models Organization, the one that he founded, and to help get people interested to come on board the extreme, what do we want to call it? Just to get on board the one wagon, and I call everything wagons, but, you know, one is the organization that was established by Bono, and I believe we spoke about it in the last broadcast, with the purpose of ending extreme global poverty as we know it, and to get as many people to make others aware of it, ranging from politicians and the average individual and faith-based organizations, and to proactive manner to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And we found out a lot about Paul David Houston, who, you know, AKA known as Bono. He and the guys of U2, they like to pray before the concert and after their concert. And it was just really very wonderful to know that they are still men of faith, even, you know, though, even though they are, for the most part, social justice people. They want to see, human rights enforced in its entirety. They want to see major governments
organized for the concern of the people.
Yeah, organized for the concern of the people, and with injustice, you know, they will come to the aid and beg and call of people who, you know, who have had their human rights violated. So, that's why we decided that we were going to volunteer at one. We're already part of one, and a lot of people don't understand the concept of one, but if you want to know more about it, just go to one.org. But, you know, after all that, after all the aches and pains of outreach, because, you know, when you're doing these physical things, you're definitely putting a lot of energy out there. And so, we weren't really into, like, you know, complaining or anything. We were just actually counting our blessings, and then the ultimate thing happened, and I'm kind of building up to this. So we come back home after burning the candle on both ends today, and at approximately, what time was it that we came back?
About
3:40. Oh, in the hour of divine mercy, we come back, and, you know, I'm in the process now of taking my husband to the other drop, but he had forgotten something at home, thank God. And lo and behold, he goes upstairs to get his belongings for work, and he was greeted by the fire alarm going off throughout the whole building. And the first thing that he thought of is did anybody leave anything on the stove? This is now for people who maybe have that problem with members of the family, or, you know, we just have to be more careful about our surroundings. And then he didn't find that there was anything on it. So, well, the other thing was, well, because we live in a duplex, well, what about the family downstairs? The only problem was nobody was downstairs, okay? Maybe there had been a good chance that someone was downstairs, but, you know, when the alarms were going off, they were going off because it was smoke. And then we smell the smoke, and here, you know, we were like outside, and, you know, the church owns our house, and so we're trying to look for the pastor, we're trying to look for the groundskeeper, and there was nobody to be found. There were cars there, but there was nobody to be found, and I realized I'm running around now trying to find help, you know, from something that maybe happened in someone's apartment, because we didn't see smoke at this point. And then, next thing you know, I get this wisdom that I need to call 911. And, you know, we're trying to get man to solve the problem. And man did solve the problem, but the Lord would show me, you know, call 911. So we called 911, and the fire department came down. They had the apparatus to, you know, search this thing out, find out where the smell of the smoke was coming from. And as I was talking, you know, to one of the fire people, they were firemen, they were saying, well, there's nothing down cellar. And I'm like, but we smell smoke, and we're not going back into that building until this thing is settled. And as I was talking to one of the other firemen, I'm looking in the back of the house downstairs, and next thing you know, out of the air conditioning, in the window comes this black smoke. And I said, I believe this is where the fire is. That's how I said it. But prior to that, in the emergency situation, I don't know what happened to me and my husband, but we were thinking that we're going to solve this thing without the intervention of the fire department. And we do not recommend that for anybody. You know, we are Christians, but we have to exercise our wisdom, you know. And we believe that the Lord had gotten us there at a certain point because we were not going to go back to the house. Now, this is very important for many people who are struggling with hearing from God. You know, we're entering the times where, you know, the greatest times in the Holy Ghost. They're also perilous times, okay? And if we don't have our ear attentive to the Holy Spirit and what He's telling us, especially in dangerous situations, we're going to miss it entirely, and sometimes it could be our life. There was a couple of things that happened prior to us and coming home. The situation was going to go like this in my plan, okay? My plan was that I was going to go pick up my husband after my bus run, because I drive the bus in between ministry, and we were going to go, and I was going to take him directly to his other job without stopping at home, and then return back to the place where we do outreach. And so the Lord kind of intervened in those plans and kind of tapped me on the shoulder and whispered to my spirit to tell me, you really need to eat your lunch to get the energy for the next thing, because it was going to be a very long weekend. And so another long weekend of outreach. So I listened to that. I had to listen to the voice of the Lord, because when we don't eat, we get run down. When we don't rest, we can get sick. So I had to listen. So I did, and in the meantime, my husband was preoccupied, and then when it was time to, when I finished my salad, it was time to go. So we went, and then my husband informed me that he needed to stop by the house all the way to work, because he needs to get his work attire. And I looked at him and I said, I thought you had that on the bus. But that's okay. We proceeded to do that, because that's what we needed to do. So when we get home, I'm in the van. He goes upstairs, and that's when everything was running amok with the fire alarms. And it was just amazing how God interrupted, okay, my plan to institute His plan to save our life and to save our house. And our neighbors, because had I not come back or made a stop at the house, had we been even later, like delayed 15 minutes
or more,
maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes, maybe even 5 minutes, we don't know, but we got there on the right time, the time that God had us get there, because the fire alarms had just gone off. Meaning that there was a lot of smoke that was generated already in the atmosphere to cause the fire alarms to go off, okay? And that
created a lot of noxious smoke.
Yeah.
The heavy smoke.
A lot of fumes.
It stayed in the basement.
Yeah. And the thing is, by the time the fire department, broke in and contained the flame, and do whatever they needed to do so it didn't spread anymore. So when we went in to see what the damage was, it was about ready to head on upstairs to the second floor because the top part of the ceiling, the top part of the wall
was in the middle of being scorched.
And of course, the kitchen of the downstairs kitchen was actually under our bathroom, and that's where the greatest amount of concentration of smoke was. And we just have to thank God that we got there in time to call the fire department, and that none of the kids that lived downstairs in the building with another family was there, because they were there, and then they left and left the thing on the stove. And that also they had a rabbit. The rabbit was alive when the fire department finally came in there. And it was just a real godsend that the house is still standing, and we're able to do this broadcast from our house, in our home studio. So I just wanted to thank God for this. Thank God to be alive again. Thank God that he protected what his right hand has planted. And we were there for our neighbors. We got a chance to pray with the lady who was a single parent downstairs. And she was, when she finally got home, she was just in total, total shambles. And we just, you know, poured God's love, you know, around her by hugging her and just consoling her and just telling her, look, just, you know, just letting her know, look, a human life is worth more than things. And those things will be replaced. There's people that need to hear this. There's too many Christians that are so materialistic, material-minded, like you're thinking, you know, you're bought in the lie of the prosperity doctrine where, you know, yes, you are blessed when you receive material goods, but that's not where your identity lives. Your identity lies in Christ Jesus and what he's done for you. And, you know, and any minute now, people can lose their life can change just like that. You know, if people can lose their health, they can get displaced, you know, homeless. You can become homeless at any given minute, all right? And this is, and God wants us to be ready at that point, at any time, you know, either, you know, to console another individual who's going through that crisis or we're, if we're, we find that we're in the middle of our crisis, always be ready to preach the gospel. Always remain focused on Jesus. Jesus will not let us down, you know. And we just the Lord just gave us the right words to tell, you know, to minister to our neighbor. And, you know, we just told her, you know, you're still in a good place. The house didn't burn down. The church is going to put it back together, you know, again. You'll be back in your house in no time. The Red Cross is going to help you. You'll have a place to stay for a couple of days, and you'll be able to come back in. Not too much damage was done. It could have been a lot worse. And things will be provided for, you know, because Jesus loves you. And then we witnessed a miracle because she's, you know, this mother's been having a very, very hard time with her boys. And because, you know, one of them has special needs and things like that. It's just really hard, I believe, as a single parent. I have been there, and it's just so hard to raise kids in this day and age, never mind in children who have special needs. So, you know, we took that opportunity to pray for her and to tell her she's a good mother, you know, and also to talk to her son who was responsible for the fire, and we said, look, you know, God's not mad at you. You know, even though this happened, you have to learn from it. Don't be hard on yourself. And this is just part of life, just learning what your mistakes are and then going forward to make better decisions. So, you know, we got a chance to pray with each person. And then what we witnessed was that, you know, the mother forgave her son for allegedly, you know, burn it down the house. But that was not what he wanted to do. It was just an accident. But he was feeling really bad because something similar almost happened before. But, you know, I think he was really feeling that he can't do anything right. So the Lord was showing us to, you know, to say, look, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. You just, you know, God is going to work with you to help you make better decisions. So I really think that as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ here, you know, God is in the next, you know, in the days ahead, he's going to allow certain situations, and this is a word of knowledge right now. He's going to allow certain situations to happen, testings, okay, to test us to see, for us to see what he's doing in our lives as far as the fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit and how we're applying them to our relationships, you know, with each other in the body of Christ and how we are responding in love. You know, he's going to give us love tests. And I just felt like the Father was so much with us. I felt like we were like participating with him through the Holy Spirit, like in like a healing service in the parking lot. I mean, and I just felt like whatever our neighbor needed, she got, you know, she got the peace, she got the consolation, and it wasn't coming from us, it was coming from the Holy Spirit moving through us. And you know, we didn't get mad and we didn't get angry. It was just, we knew it was an accident, but we also knew that God was going to bring good out of this, and that everything was going to be okay. It was just a delay, a glitch in plans, but it could have been a lot worse. And it's just, you know, God was just using the community. It was so funny. Insurance adjusters coming by the scene, they just came forward with their cards and everything, trying to give it to the owner of the house. And the funny thing about it was like one after another. And well, you know, we were trying to talk to the fire department, and you know, and they're coming, and they're like, "Who owns this house?" And the owner wasn't there, because the owner was the pastor. And and the funny thing about this whole thing was he wasn't there, but we received the cards for him. you know, it just goes to show that, you know, when there's crisis, somebody's going to come out there, you know. But let it be more Christians that are walking in love and are willing at the drop of a dime to console the fellow man with prayer. And that's how, you know, the love of God can flow and be received. And Jeff, do you have anything to say about that?
I really think it's important to understand that, you know, what we do here in life is really important, and it doesn't really matter how you do it, as long as you do it, use all your might, use all your passion, and just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for the sake of others. Don't, you know, you do walk away enriched because you're developing a very positive habit of helping others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I was so in shock, you know, because when you're in crisis, you get into a like a fight flight thing.
Fight flight trauma.
Trauma. You're thinking, you want to think there's nothing really happening, right? But there really is. So
the window broken.
Yeah.
Break that denial barrier.
Or when you see the smoke, and the thing is, we knew something was going on in the house, and let this be a spiritual lesson as well. You know, and the Lord's already showing you something, but then you're starting to see the alarms, you know, or hearing it,
right.
The warning signs that something is not quite right, okay? But whether it's spiritual, or whether it's actually happening in the now, we get these warning signs, and a lot of times Christians, you know, they ignore it. They ignore the warning signs of the Lord, you know, in any given circumstance that God is calling us to take heed of and take notice. And if we can only see with our eyes and listen with our ears, physically and spiritually, we won't miss what God is trying to reveal to us. So, you know, he was showing me with the situation how he does send people a certain alarm and warnings about certain things and events. And some of them are, you know, impressions. You know, and lots of times you don't see the fullness of it until it fully manifests. But lots of times he wants to hit these things off before they manifest entirely. And so with the fire situation, we knew something was wrong because we're discerning, well, these alarms are telling us that something is not right in this house. And then we started smelling. We started smelling the atmosphere, sniffing things out with our, you know, with our olfactory nerve, natural sense of smell, often operating through our, our sense of smell, our nose. And, one of the things that, as a bus driver, when they say, when they train us when they train us to drive a bus, they always say these simple words: look, listen, and feel and smell your bus for any warning sign. So I believe that this is how it is in the spirit. You try to see what's happening around you, in the spirit, or if you can try to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. Sometimes people do get, fragrances of different kinds in the spirit that may only be appropriate to that individual. So, so you want to, sniff out the spiritual atmosphere, and you want to feel it. You want to feel it out, like, how is it making me feel, what's going on here? And so these are all ways in which God will use us to our discernment process, all right, to discern what's really happening. And so, as he's walking us through this process with the house, I was trying to find somebody, okay? And the thing being is that, in the spirit, when you're praying, when things happen in the spirit like this, you want to try to dig deeper into the reality of what's going on. You're trying to find somebody, and most people, that's when they just either stay in denial or whatever, but they're just saying, they got to consult the Lord. Lord, what is going on? What's going on with this place, okay? What's going on in this situation? What is going on? What do I need to do? What are you asking me to do? So these are the words, these are the questions that you have to ask yourself in any given circumstance or situation that you're discerning spiritually. So then let's go back to the natural, what God was showing us to do about the fire downstairs. And I've even asked the Lord about the fire, and he's given me common sense knowledge now. Yeah, I have the phone in my hand, and he's saying, call 911. You are not the fire department. Call 911. This is work for the fire department. And so I did, even though I couldn't see the fire, I couldn't see the smoke at the time. Only thing I could do is smell it. So we went from fire alarm to smelling the smoke, smelling something going on.
Mm-hmm. Smell.
Yeah.
And then
we saw finally saw the smoke when the fire department came, because as we're talking, and there was nothing going before I was talking to one of the firemen. Smoke had not gone through the vent of the air conditioner that was in the window. But as we were talking, then we started seeing the black smoke coming from the bedroom through
the back bedroom
of the downstairs floor. And then we realized, and all I said was, I don't know if people are in that, are on that floor. Sometimes the kids are in there, the lady's children, because the older one babysits the younger one. And I said, I hope it's not. That's their room. There may be people in there, because the smoke was very thick at this point, and you can see it coming out the vent. So, things started to get very, very, very interesting after that observation. And so they went to the next level of intervention, and that was to break all the windows,
Break
that window so that they could, clear the air on that and give the people a chance to escape if they were caught in that room. And then they got a chance to do the doors and whatever, however capacity, because the lady just got a new lock and everything. So these are the different things that, were happening. And, of course, they were asking us questions like, do we know the family there? Are any of the people there? Do we see anybody? And they asked us the other thing, is there an animal in there? We're like, well, we don't know, but there was. There was a rabbit, and the rabbit was intact. It was an Angora rabbit. But, these are the things that, as the Lord was showing us about this fire and the origin of it, and, what you know, and how we would respond, it became quite evident that we need to also respond in the spirit like this, you know. So in any given circumstance or situation where there is a warning, you know, God always gives us warnings, all right? If you're attentive to the things of the Holy Spirit, warnings before things actually happen. You may give warnings through a dream, through a vision, through bells and smells, but it'll give us a warning. So, you know, it's just, we're living in exciting times, we're living in extraordinary times, but we're living in perilous times as well. And we need to heed the warnings as the Holy Spirit shows us. Now, there's a lot of hype out there on Facebook and
everywhere,
YouTube, about these other things that if people paid attention to the hype, they may not, it may just deafen the ear to the Holy Spirit. So you got to be very careful that the only voice that we should be hearing, okay, is the Holy Spirit and not the voice of man that can, you know, really, you know, thwart, you know, the hearing part, you know, that we're supposed to hear from the Lord. And people are quoting other people, the hearsay on many things. And when you get caught up with the political spirit, that's what the political spirit does. It just, you know, kind of like sticks to you like Velcro, and, you know, and takes third-party information and turns it into hearsay, you know, first-party information, turns it into third-party information, and the next thing you know, people are speaking on the third-party information, which is called hearsay. And then in this hearsay, as people are uttering these things, either through written word or through the mouth, is actually, you know, bringing on a deaf and dumb spirit. So you're not hearing from the Holy Spirit. It kind of numbs your spirit man to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying because you're so busy quoting what man wants people to say, you know, through the hearsay. So that's why it's so very important to really put yourself in a place to hear from the Lord, hear what the Spirit is saying, and then do what the Holy Spirit is telling you. But we got to put ourselves in a place, a position, where we put a muzzle over our mouth, and we try hard not to utter everything that you're hearing. But, you know, run it by the Lord, you know, test it in the Word and pray on it before you act. Because I'm telling you, you may not have time to, find somebody out. You have to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, and He would, in many circumstances and situations, give you the remedy for the situation. And I believe I'm speaking to many, many people out there who, you know, are afraid of life, afraid of your own shadow, afraid of, you know, of just being spontaneous, because in the spontaneity, there's an uncertainty that causes you not to, it just causes you not to be in that place where, you know, you're going to feel comfortable to hear from the Lord. But, you know, telling you, the more that you practice spontaneity, the more that you, you know, have dialogue with the Lord and train yourself to hear from Him and what the Holy Spirit is saying about any given situation and circumstance, the easier it's going to be. Because God does speak to everyone, but a lot of people are not listening, okay? And it was so funny because the last 2 days, There's one particular person, and I ran this by my husband, you know, that the Lord just kept showing me, kept seeing her face, and the Lord spoke to me about her name and how she does a lot with helping people out and how He's pleased with her. And it was just a whole thing that the Lord has just given me about this person. And this, you know, this was the first person that came to our aid when we were waiting for the fire department. And we ended up talking to her at great length throughout the whole situation, and we found out many things. So it's amazing how God sets you up, okay, for your divine appointments as well. So we knew that this thing was all about divine appointments. And, you know, why the Lord allowed the fire to happen in the first place. He didn't cause it, but he allowed it, in a small containable area, is to, he knew the people that were going to come to the aid of all the inhabitants of the building, and he also knew that this person was going to come because she was his helper. And he wanted us to be open to receive the help from her. She had some good, valuable advice. She called the Red Cross, and we found out that, you know, she's the one that brought this African priest to our parish. So, you know, she's doing a lot of work in Tanzania. So I just asked the Lord, just bless our friend there. Bless our friend Chris with many more opportunities to help people and the ability to do that too, and protect her, Lord, and just open her coffers and just bless her. Bless her mightily. Bless her and thank them. Bless her for helping us and being used of the Lord to bring us to another place. Thank you, Lord. And I ask that, Lord, that the young lady and her family that was displaced temporarily in the hotel, that, Lord, that you would love on her, minister to her, and you would restore all that the enemy tried to rob from her. And we thank you, Lord. And I pray that for anyone out there who has lost property, especially property through fire, through any kind of destruction caused by storms, that, Lord, that you would put the right people to help them out, and that they would feel your love moving through your people. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Jeff, is there anything you want to pray?
Thank you, Lord God Almighty. We praise you and thank you for your glory and thank you for your divine and divine intervention. We thank you and praise you, Lord God, King of the universe. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for protecting us from harm. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah.
And Lord, just thank you for what you were doing for that family, letting them, showing them your love and your forgiveness, Lord, and teaching them how to forgive each other through Christ in the middle of this crisis. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your peace resting upon them. Thank you, Lord, for this time as being a time of transition from, you know, from this world into your kingdom on behalf of the family downstairs. We thank you, Lord. And all those families that are crossing over from the spirit of this world to the kingdom of God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we thank you, Lord, that you will not leave us or forsake us.
Amen.
Now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord that heals us, changes us, and transforms us from glory to glory, and that you work all things out for those that love you. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, of Jesus. Thank you. You know, I'm just so grateful for God and who He is and what He does through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit and how He just, how, you know, and even for the hypostatic union of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and how they relate to each other. And I really believe that this is how God wants us to relate to each other in the body of Christ, just like they love each other. And, can you just increase that love in us and in the body such a time as this, some of these things do happen? Nothing but the love of God is there to heal. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for your plan of redemption being fulfilled in this hour. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we are at the end of the show, and it's really been a trying time for us. We're just going to just rest in the Lord. God is calling us to just rest in Him and thank God for Him. And relate. I mean, thank God for a roof over our head, and just thank God for everything that He's given us. You know, there was a time where we complained that we didn't own our own house and different things like this, but you know what the Lord's doing? He's preserving things. He provides what, you know, for our needs in the given moment, and we just have to rejoice and just continually be gracious unto Him and just thank Him for everything. And we just, Lord, I just thank you for this house and how it's still standing, and for the minimal damage that happened, and that there's nobody that's going to be displaced on a long-term basis. And Lord, that there is a short-term remedy for all of these things, and that nothing was lost, but there were many things that were preserved, and it was not too expensive. It's not, you know, it didn't cause too much damage. So, Lord, I just thank you, and I ask, Lord, that you would send your provision to the church, that, Lord, they would have what they need to renovate the place downstairs. And I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And, Lord, any situations that people find themselves in, Lord, provide for their needs. Provide for their needs. Provide, Lord, a loving network, support network around them that people can rely on when during these times of crisis. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I just wanted to speak this, saying this phrase out to people who are caught, and they find themselves caught up in these storms of life, okay? And the Lord wants to sing this song over you, you know, over your circumstances and situation. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Be still and know that I am God. be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. So I just want to just, I know I didn't have any music accompaniment, but
really good job.
Yeah, but the Lord just wanted you to know that he's still God. He's still God. In all your circumstances and situations, he's still God. No matter what storms they come your way. So bless you. And we love you and we'll be praying for you. Amen. And don't forget to pray for us too. Bye-bye.